Hey, everybody, this is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. I am pumped that you are here. Cannot wait to share some cool stuff with you guys today. And it's funny, I'm actually working through a big project right now. So I've been logging into all the archives of Funnel Hacking Live from the past 5 or 6 years, or however many years we've done it. And I found this little presentation that I forgot. I did this last Funnel Hacking Live. It was only 15 minutes long, but it's called The Three Closes, How to Quickly Double Sales by Weaving in the Three Invisible Closes into Every Step of Your Funnel. I kind of just rewatched it real quick. I'm like, this is really good. People should hear this. So I'm going to give you guys a gift today. I'm going to let you guys listen in on this presentation. But if you're going to get to listen to it, I need your help. The help that I need you when you're done listening to it, because I'm giving you this for free. Everyone else had to pay to get this. So if I'm going to hook you up and give you this for free, the thing I want in return is for you guys to take a snapshot on your phone as you're listening to this and post it on social media and tell everyone to go listen to this episode. Be like, dude, this episode is sweet. Go listen to it. The Three Closes. And just get people to come listen. So that's my only request. You don't have to do it, but if you'd like to, that'd be really, really cool. It'd mean a lot to me. So when you do that, make sure you tag me and do hashtag marketing secrets. That way it'll show up and I can see it. And I'd love to hear your comments on why you like this episode. And appreciate you guys sharing it in advance. Okay, with that said, I'm going to cue up the theme song. When we come back, you're going to have a chance to listen to one of my presentations from Funnel Hacking Live called The Three Closes, How to Quickly Double Sales by Weaving the Three Invisible Closes into Every Step of Your Funnel. Here we go.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
This is a framework that I've been using for myself for a long time, and I assumed that everybody knew it or did it. And one time we had a marketing meeting. This is probably about a year ago. We flew most of our marketing team into Boise, and we were sitting there, and I remember mapping this out. I was explaining the layout of a landing page. I said, hey, just, you know, this is the three closes and how we use them on a landing page. And everyone on my team was like, what? They started freaking out. I was like, didn't everybody know this? And like, I don't think anybody knows this. You've never talked about it before. No one's ever shared it. And I was like, oh my gosh. That's amazing. So I've never really talked about this publicly anywhere before besides right now and right here. So I want to kind of go through this. So I call this The Three Closes, How to Quickly Double Sales by Weaving These Three Invisible Closes into Every Step of Your Funnel. Okay, and this is what the framework looks like. And it's emotion, logic, and fear. All right, so step into kind of the pre-frame so you can understand how this framework works. So the first thing you have to understand, I learned this originally from Perry Belcher. I think Perry learned it from Dan Kennedy, but I'm not sure. But he said something really interesting. He said, if you look at anything in life, the reason why people either move towards you or they don't move at all is because of this weird thing that we have as humans called status. We like to feel status, right? And so that's kind of how all of selling is based on this when you start understanding it, okay? It's all based on status. And so when somebody's looking at any opportunity you offer them, right, here's the new thing, here's my product, here's my service, here's my whatever, what they're thinking about subconsciously in their mind is, if I do this thing, if I buy this product, if I move forward in this way, is this thing that I'm considering doing, is it going to increase my status or is it going to decrease my status? That's the psychological turmoil they have in their head every single time you make an offer. It really boils down to that simple. Okay, is this going to make me feel better about myself or is it going to make me feel worse about myself? Am I going to increase my status or decrease my status? Okay, and some of you guys are thinking, oh, that's not me. I don't make my decisions that way. Okay, I'm not so self-centered that I'm worried about my status all the time. But it's interesting because status works both ways. Some people buy really amazing things, like, let's say, a really expensive watch or a nice car because it'll increase their status. Like, oh, I'm going to feel really good, right? And so that's one side of it. But some people, they don't buy a car that's really expensive because they feel like that will decrease their status, right? The first time I ever shared this concept, I remember I was talking about a Ferrari, and I'm going to share a Ferrari story here in a second. So I was talking about a Ferrari, and I remember I was talking about you go to buy a Ferrari, you do it because you want to increase in status. And I remember a lady in the audience raised her hand. She's like, I would never buy a Ferrari. That would not increase my status. She said, that would actually decrease my status. I'm like, exactly. Like, your fear is the other side. Like, if I buy this thing, it's going to decrease my status. I was like, what do you drive? And she's like, a minivan. I'm like, why do you drive a minivan? And she says, well, it's because it makes me feel intelligent because I know it gives good gas mileage and it's safe for my family, all those kind of things. I said, so you bought a minivan because it increased your status. It's like, oh my gosh, I never thought about it that way. I thought that everybody, status was like this thing that was a negative connotation, but all of us do it, okay? And so that's what you need to kind of understand. So as we move into this framework, I want you to look at it through that frame of understanding status, okay? All right, so the first close when we're selling anything is our emotional close. Now, emotion is the most powerful tool we have for selling anything, okay? And so that's why we spent a whole session last night for like 2 hours talking about the Epiphany Bridge and story. Okay, story is an emotional close. I'm telling you a story. I'm getting you engaged. All your feelings are happening, right? Okay, and so you're getting the emotion. Now, emotion, like I said, is the most powerful thing. And for years, this is the only way that I knew how to close stuff. I would tell stories that were emotional. People would feel it, right? And then they would go and they would buy things, okay? And so emotion, people feel this emotion that gives them a status increase. Like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. If I get this thing, if I buy this product or this service, right? I'm going to have better style. I'm going to have more happiness, more wealth, my physical appearance. I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to make money. I'm going to, you know, whatever the thing might be, okay? So it's an emotional decision. And right now, if you look at the metrics, about 50% of your sales will come from the emotional close. Okay, some of you guys, that's all you do is just the emotional close, and that's okay. That's what I did for probably the first decade before I understood the second two closes. But 50% of your sales will come from the emotional close, okay? Now, this is a picture of Todd. Just like that red car. So this is Todd's red car. And I remember he saw it, and he was like freaking out. He's like, I want to buy this car. And he went and he jumped in the car. He sat in it. He drove around. And he felt amazing. And he was like, this is amazing. Can you imagine driving this car every single day? How awesome it would be, right? And he's sitting there visualizing the increase in status. Like, I'm going to feel really good. People are going to see this car. It's going to be awesome, right? So the very first thing is he's emotionally sold. He's like, this is good. I need this thing, right? Okay? And so most sales happen emotionally initially, right? If I imagine you guys, the last car that you bought, when you got it the first time, you sat down, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, right? It's the emotion you feel of it. And this is true to anything in life, by the way. Think about the last five things you bought. You sat there and you're emotionally like, oh, this would be really cool to have. I want that thing, okay? But then what happens is after the emotion kind of runs its way and you're like, I need this thing, I have to buy it, then we have people we love around us. Like, for example, Todd, this is his beautiful wife, Ashley. And he's got to drive home in this car and tell Ashley about the emotional experience he just had. Now, she didn't have the same emotional experience that Todd had when he first stepped in this car, I'm pretty sure. And so from there, now we transition to the second close, which is the logical close. So after Todd bought the car, he signed on the line, he voxed me, and he started talking to me about the gas mileage, about how the resale value is so great on this car, and he's been going on and on and on. I started laughing, like, Todd, I'm the most emotional person you have ever met. You do not have to logically convince me of anything. He's like, I know, but I'm driving home, and in a few minutes, I have to logically convince Ashley that this was a good purchase. And so the second close is logic, okay? And logic is all about avoiding a status decrease, okay? So all of us, we buy things emotionally, and then we justify them logically, okay? So if you don't have logic in your pitch, in your presentations, in the way you're selling, a big percentage, 50% or more of your audience will not buy, even if they're emotionally moved to buy. Because, like, this is amazing, but, like, oh, what if the decrease in status, right? They feel the emotion of the increase in status. They're excited by it, but then they fear the decrease of status. They're like, what's my wife going to think? My family, my friends? If I drive this car to school, what are the other parents going to think? Like, all the different things that they start freaking out about, right? They have this fear of the decrease of status. And so because of that, you have to also speak to the logical mind, okay? And so the second close in any sales presentation is the logical close. Okay, so we start with emotion, 50% of buyers come from emotion, and then about 30% of the buyers will come from the logical close. So where you logically explain things, mostly so that they have the ammunition they need to logically explain to other people so they don't feel a decrease in status. Okay, there's no logic in buying a Ferrari. I had one for a while. It was the worst car ever. If you don't plug it in every night, it dies. Okay, you can't jump in it. You have to plug it in. It takes a week to recharge it. It's the worst car ever. It broke down every time I drove it. Like, it was insane. Like, there's no logical reason to have a Ferrari. It's horrible. In fact, I was talking to Todd the other day. He's like, yeah, I left it unplugged and sat in the driveway for a week because we couldn't get it back. I'm like, it's the worst car ever, right? Emotionally, though, man, it looks good. Like, I've never been a hot girl, ever, but when I drove my Ferrari the two times it worked before it broke down every time, I would drive to the gas station, and all of a sudden, men from everywhere would start popping up from the gas station and come around me. I was just like, and they're like, how many horses are in there? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a car guy. And they're like, can I get a picture with it? I'm like, I guess. Like, I feel so violated. This is the weirdest thing in the world. The other weird thing is you drive down the street, and you see the other cars coming. And it was funny because the women driver never noticed any of it. But the men would be like, woo, every single man, woo. And I see people like flip around and speed past me with their cameras getting selfies. Like, oh, look at the front. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever. Emotionally, it was amazing. I felt like a rock star, okay? But logically, it's the worst car I've ever driven, ever. Like, it's horrible, okay? All right, we understand. Emotional is about increasing status. Logic is about protecting yourself from a decrease in status, okay? And 30% of your sales come from logic. And then the third close is what we call fear, or fear, FOMO, fear of missing out. This is the urgency and scarcity. Okay, there's some people, no matter how much status increase they think they're going to get, or how much logically they convince themselves and others around them that they can buy something, they won't take action unless you're going to take it away. The fear of missing out is the thing that gets the last 20% of people to buy. Okay? And so this pattern is happening everywhere. You guys will see it. At this event alone, I'm going to be using this process a bunch of times on you. Hopefully you guys will respect that and appreciate it and see it. Okay? But I want you guys to start seeing where these things are weaved in to a lot of things. So here's some examples. Okay, so emotion, logic, fear. So just filling this event alone, how many of you guys were at last year's Funnel Hacking Live? And at the very end, I was like, hey, you should buy tickets next year. You're like, whoa, and you ran in the back and you bought tickets. Where are my emotional buyers? I love you guys. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. So these are the emotional buyers. They had an amazing emotional experience last Funnel Hacking Live. They're like, this is insane. Next year, I'm going to be on stage. I'm going to get my award. This is the most amazing thing on earth. I'm going to commit to myself right now. I'm going to do it. Those are my emotional buyers. You guys all signed up before the event even left. So grateful for you guys. I hope by next year you are all emotional buyers. That would make my job of selling tickets so much easier. Okay? So that's step number one. Okay? So we get the emotional buyers. And then it's like, everyone's like, well, I don't know if next year if I'm going to win an award yet. I don't know if this. Well, what if the speakers aren't good? What if this? What? And like all the logic, right? Like, oh, what if I go and like I don't learn anything new because I already know everything Russell's ever said. I've read all his books. I know everything. Like, what if? And all of a sudden the logic starts coming in, right? And so the next set of closes for us, we start introducing speakers. And each speaker, I'm like, here's the speaker. This is why you need to hear from them. Logically, this is the part you're stuck on. This person doesn't give you that piece. Here's the next speaker. Here's the next speaker. Here's the next speaker. Right? And I spend the next 2 months of my life doing interviews with all the speakers, and everyone's like, logically, okay, all right. So if Jermaine's going to come, then I'm going to come because, you know, logically it makes sense. I need that piece. Oh, and logically, I need design hacking. If Catherine's going to be there, I'm going to come, right? And logically, for 2 months, I start closing the next set of sales through logic, right? And so the next 30% of our sales came through the campaign like this, right? And then guess how the last 20% of tickets were sold? Literally the last day when I'm like, hey, tickets sell out tomorrow, and then they're gone forever. And all the rest of you guys are like, oh my gosh, Russell's been talking about this every day for 12 months of his life. I think I'm going to finally get it. Right? Then we close down ticket sales. The next day, people are like, I didn't know it was closing down. Like, I need tickets. I'm like, are you serious? Every day for a year, I've been telling you about this. Oh, it's painful. Okay? But this is the process. Okay? So I'm showing you this because this is a typical campaign. We lead with emotions. We lead with webinars or product launch videos, things like that. Videos, like, we're getting the emotional close. Right? Then we transition to the logical closes. Then we end with urgency and scarcity. Right? Emotion, logic, fear. Okay? If you look at the perfect webinar script, it is strategically designed to do this exact same thing. The very first section of the perfect webinar is all about emotion. We're breaking false beliefs, am I right? Then we transition to the stack and the close, which is a very logical argument, right, about why you need this thing and this thing and this thing and the value. I'm logically convincing you why it's actually worth the thing you did. Okay, so if I go back a step here, you're feeling the emotion of like, yes, this is going to increase my status if I get the thing. And I transition to closure, like, oh, but what's my wife going to say if I have to talk to her about this? Is it a really good offer? Is it a really good deal? Like, what are my friends going to think? What if I buy it and it doesn't work? And all of a sudden, the logical mind starts freaking out. So I come in and I do the stack. And through the stack, I walk you through that. I'm like, this is the offer. This is the value. And you're like, oh, my gosh, this is a really good deal. Okay. And you grab your wife or your spouse or your husband and be like, look, this is a really good deal. Check out the offer. And they're like, are you sure this is a good deal? And you're convincing them logically, right? And at the end, call to action. We have urgency and scarcity. This is why you got to buy now. Okay. So that happens inside of the actual webinar script. Okay. Same thing happens in the webinar funnel. Okay. If at a macro level, if you step out in the webinar funnel, the first part of the webinar campaign is all about emotion, right? They register, they get the indoctrination videos, they watch the webinar, like it's a very emotional sell. From there, we transition to the replays, which are very heavily pushing like the offer, right? We talk about go watch the replay. And here's the offer. And then the end of the campaign, we do our urgency and our scarcity, and our last 20% of sales come the last day when everybody's like, oh, this offer is disappearing now. I must finally go. Okay, emotion, logic, and fear. Okay, we also see in our landing pages. Okay, if I know that the best opportunity I have to sell is emotion, the top one third of my page is all speaking towards emotion. If you look at any of my landing pages, you'll notice that the emotional pitch is everything above the fold. Okay, above the fold means without having to scroll. Everything you see on the page is all emotion, right? And it's crazy if you guys use analytics like the tracking software, see how people scroll down. It's like most people never scroll past the initial thing, right? What happens is the emotional buyer's like, this is amazing, boom, they buy. And then the logical buyer's like, this is amazing, but like, and then they start scrolling for more information. So they scroll down, it's like, oh, here's all the emotional arguments about why you should buy this thing. We speak to emotion, speak to logic here. So my logical people who are typically more readers will start reading through the longer form of the thing, right? They get the justification they need. And the bottom is like my urgency and scarcity. Like, this is why you got to act now. So if you start noticing this in all my landing pages, you'll notice top one-third's motion, next big section is logic, last 20% is urgency and scarcity and fear. Okay? Same thing happens in my email campaigns. Somebody comes into my list, they join my list, my first few emails are all gonna be speaking towards the emotion. Okay, you notice I'm telling stories, I'm getting you excited, and then I'll transition to like, okay, let me talk logically why this is the thing you need. And then we end with urgency and scarcity and we close down the campaign. Okay, this happens inside my email campaigns. If you look at my value ladder, how we send people up through it, at each step in the value ladder, boom, the follow-up sequence that takes somebody through that step of the value ladder and then moves to the next, goes through emotion, logic, and fear. And then you move to the next one, and then boom, that next one, it goes through emotion, logic, and fear. So that pattern is weaved throughout every single campaign as we're moving people through our value ladder and sending them up, okay? And it's also happening not just there, but in all of our campaigns. So this is kind of how I map out my campaigns. So again, emotion, logic, fear is up at the top here. Left-hand side's like, okay, here's where somebody comes to this page, they click on the ad, now we have our retargeting campaigns. Okay, even our retargeting campaigns follow this process, right? The first set of ads they see after they hit a landing page to click on an ad are all very emotional-based ads, right? Okay, and if they haven't bought after emotional, then we transition to logical-based ads. If they haven't bought after logical-based ads, then we transition to the urgency and scarcity ads. Okay, so it happens there in retargeting campaigns, happens in our email campaigns, happens in every single aspect. This pattern happens over and over and over and over again. So that, you guys, is the urgency and scarcity, the three closes framework. Do you guys like that? Hey everybody, this is Russell again, and really quick, I wanted to invite you to join arguably the best thing that we've ever put out inside the ClickFunnels community, and it is a challenge we call the One Funnel Away Challenge. You know, everyone in their business, in their life, they're one funnel away from something. Some of you guys are one funnel away from quitting your job. Some of you guys are one funnel away from getting more impact. Some of you guys are a funnel away from growing your company to the next level. And so we created this challenge to help you to create and launch your first or your next funnel. No matter where you are in your business, this challenge is going to help you. It's going to help you understand the strategy, help you understand the tactics, help you understand all the things you need to be successful with your funnel. So what I recommend you do right now is stop everything, pause this audio, go online and go to onefunnelaway.com. That's onefunnelaway.com and join the next challenge. There's a challenge starting in the next few days, so go get started right now. onefunnelaway.com.